things have changed a little bit. 6 years ago when I first arrived here, I used to run up those steps. Now I wonder if I'm going to make it to the top. I used to be able to chase the kids around here at Little Ed and their academy now, and I had a blast doing it. But last year something happened. I found out I cannot catch them, nor can I run like I used to run. So I knew I was getting older. One of the things I like to do is read. How many of you like to read? And, I got to thinking about that because we're coming to the end of the book. And sometimes when you close the book, you say, boy, that was a good book. Had some interesting chapters, had some great things in it. What a great book. And as I close the chapter of my life on this church, in my time here as your pastor, what a great book. What an awesome book. Knowing this is going to be my final message as the senior pastor of this church got me to thinking and researching about famous last words. And two stood out. One were the words of Pancho Villa, who said, "Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something." And the other were the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." One of my brothers is here this morning who I work out with in the gym, and he asked me this morning, he said, "Do you know that your time is done?" He's asked me this for several times over the course of the last 6-7 months, and I told him I think I'm nearing the end, and he said, "Good," this morning. He said, "I didn't want to have to tell you. You're finished." So... But I'm thankful for Brother Joel and thankful for so many of you. But the Apostle Paul's words, more than any other, express the life of a pastor. For no pastor can move unless God is determined that he has finished his course, that he has finished what the Lord had called him to do. Now, I know that I have finished what God called me to do here. I have fought the good fight. We have kept the faith. And God has revealed to me, as I announced to the church on September the 8th, that our time here is finished. And I'm thankful. Because when my wife and I began 27 years ago in ministry, our theme song was, "Wherever He Leads, We'll Go." 28 years ago, I was sitting in the middle of, in Springfield, Illinois. I was in the middle of a horse show ring. The class was over. And I had already announced my retirement. I knew that I was retiring from training horses. Now, I had just won the national championship 2 years in a row, and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to go out with a third? It didn't happen that way. Well, here we come, and we're at another crossroads in life for us. We are retiring. Don't know what that's like. Brother Larry's given me some good advice. He said, "You just take it slow." So I plan to do that. But we've come to the end. And I want to express to this church just how thankful I am for each and every one of you. It has been a blessing to be the pastor of this church. You all are wonderful, loving people. And who would have ever thought that God would have such a sense of humor as to send you somebody from New York to be the pastor in Southwest Virginia? But God has been good to us, and I thank you all. Michelle and I appreciate you all so much. The experiences we've shared over the past 6 years, but famous last words. Since this is my last message, and several people are out sick, if someone were to ask, what were his famous last words? Tell them I said nothing, but God said everything. Like I've been drumming into your heads, hopefully, for the past 6 years, church, we don't come to church to hear what the pastor has to say. We come to church to hear what God has to say. And this is the Lord's day. It is not Don's day. So let us worship the Lord together today. Let us be in the Lord's words. We come to hear what God has to say. What would God say? Seeing how this is our final time, well, please take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and then if you will rise as we honor God with the reading of His holy word. Peter begins here in this fifth chapter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, these words are most important. And Lord, I pray that as we expound on this passage of Scripture today, that, Lord, you would bring to our minds in the days ahead everything that will be said from this passage today. Lord, would you give us a memory that will remember the things that you are sharing with us this day? Lord, would you guide us in the days ahead? Would you give us that ear to hear this morning that Jesus often prayed for as he faced congregations? And, Lord, may you be glorified. For this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, but Lord, you ought to be the focus of the day because it is your day. And Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that we can gather together. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. What would God say? Well, from this text, I believe God would remind us that God guides. It is not man who leads us in this life, not if we're a Christian, not if we're a child of God. It is God who is to be our guide, not man. It is God's book that is to be our guide. It is God who bore our sins on the cross, not man. It is God who has written in His blood, "The way of the cross leads home." Please keep that in mind. The way of the cross leads home. It is not the picture of man that adorns the church, but the cross. Man can no more get a man into heaven than he could give an answer for everything. You see, that place is reserved for God. And that place in your heart ought to be reserved for God, not for man. Man has a place, but God better hold the place in all of our hearts. So it is God we are to always be looking to, not man. For the way of the cross leads home. As the song says, "There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. Knowing this to be so is the reason Peter reminds us here in our text, casting, verse 7, "casting all your care upon Him, for He," what, church? "Careth for you." Now, I don't know what you may be going through, what you may be dealing with, but I do know this. You weren't meant to carry it. God will carry it. He works 24/7, so you don't have to. He works 365 days a year. Don't go around trying to handle burdens you were never meant to handle in the first place. Do what Scripture says. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Remember that. Someone once said that life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. And if we stop and think about this, that's true. A child is born, but that child doesn't stay a little baby. Before you know it, they grow up. They're a teenager. Then they're off to college. And then they become a young adult. And soon they leave their parents' home and they make a home of their own. As parents, we say goodbye in one way and in one sense when that child leaves home, but in another we say hello. Friends come and friends go. Someone new moves into the neighborhood, someone else moves away. A beloved family member passes, and we all gather together to hold one another in comfort and remind one another that our God is a merciful God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is an awesome God. Not only is life a series of hellos and goodbyes, it is also a series of change. Not many folks like change. Our lives have been changing from the moment we were born, day by day. Our physical bodies are not the same. My brother Joel, who's here this morning, can tell you my chest used to be up here. It is now down here. When I get down on the ground, I wonder if I'm going to get back up again. Matter of fact, I'm down so long, I think, what else can I do while I'm down here, Brother Derek? My body's changed. Your body's changed. Life changes, amen? The good Lord willing, we are not the same as we were yesterday. Hopefully, we're a little bit farther down the journey with God. And we're not the same as when we first came to salvation in Christ. I pray that you can say, I am a growing Christian. I pray if this pulpit was to represent where you began with God, and this is where you're going to end, that somewhere in here you can say, I used to be that, but I'm no longer that because God has changed me. With each passing year, our world is changing, and it must change because God is working out His plan, and soon, like I've been sharing from time to time, that shout's going to come from heaven, and the trump's going to sound, the shout will come, and the Lord's going to say to the church, come up hither, and the rapture's going to take place. I'm looking forward to that day. Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I just want to avoid the middleman. I don't want Terry or Jerry dressing me. I want to go right home to Jesus. The other certain thing about life is that it's constantly changing. And some of the changes we like, some we won't. And the reason we don't like change is because they force us to have to adapt to something new. Have you ever noticed that when people are forced to adapt to something new, they always get that look on their face like they're not sure if they're going to like this? All of these things are going to be a necessity to remember as this church enters into this time of transition. Our associate pastor, our deacons, our Sunday school teacher, our academy director, our academy school teachers are going to have to take to heart the meaning of these five things and live them out. The five things that we see here in this text where God says, feed the flock. Taking the oversight, but willingly, of a ready mind, being examples. When I think about change, I think about the spiritual realm. I think about the cross. What is that cross? It's an emblem of sacrifice. It's a reminder to the Christian that the way of the cross leads home. Every time you come to church, every time you see that cross, you ought to be reminded the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. And our text today reminds us that Peter knows this. You see, Peter has written this epistle because he is about to depart. Soon he's going to be martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ, and Peter will choose to be hung upside down on the cross that there be no mistaking who is a plain man and who was the Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that Peter feared the most in his life at one point, he now embraces that very thing. Why? Because he knows the way of the cross leads home. Therefore, he begins with some strong words here, both of encouragement and charge. Look at your text again. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Think about these words for a moment. Peter isn't going to be around much longer. And so he exhorts the elders in the church. And what better words can we have for a time such as this than our Lord's words of encouragement written by Peter through the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit of God worked in him? Note what he's telling them. Again, feed the flock, taking oversight, be willing, be of a ready mind, be of an example. I can't think of five better things that we need to do in life as you enter into this time of transition. God has given us a wonderful list. He's told us what to do. You know, one of the things that someone once said is, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to lean on Jesus. You've been doing it for all these years. We're going to continue to lean on Jesus. Amen. Listen, your pastor here never knew how to pastor a church. Someone once asked me, do you know how to pastor a church? And I said, no. And they got this shocked look on their face. And I said, but as long as I follow God, we're going to be all right. It is God we're to follow, friends. But to live out these five things in this congregation, it's going to require commitment. It's going to require sacrifice, one for another. For no one can fulfill any of these if they aren't first willing to take up their cross. When God moves a pastor, God expects his leaders, his elders, his leaders, his deacons, his Sunday school teachers to step up because some heretofore responsibilities that the pastor was caring for, they now have the responsibility for. It'll require the church as a whole to live with others in mind. And this church will have to take to heart and put into action the words of Philippians 2 and 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Others must come first. And friends, the only way we can do that is to heed what God wrote, had Peter write here in his word in verse 6. Look at it with me if you will. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And why must we do this? Because transition means change. And change can provide the church's greatest enemy with a foothold if you are not standing guard. That's why the church must take to heart Peter's warning in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Are you aware, Paul, that great pastor, when leaving the church at Ephesus, gave the church these words, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And this is why the church as a whole must look to God. What is your greatest responsibility right now? What I've said on and off for 6 years. You need to protect your pulpit. You need to make certain that the next pastor was as this pastor and he teaches you from God's word. That's the greatest responsibility we have, to make certain that a man of God stands behind God's pulpit, God's sacred desk, and teaches you the word of God. And how are you going to know it? You better be in the book. Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you better know what God has said in order that you know you're hearing the truth when it comes. Because the way of the cross leads home. We must be reminded of God. Let's keep our eyes on the cross. The way of the cross is not only leads home, but it is also the pathway of blessing. And may I encourage you, as Paul did the church at Philippi, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, one of another, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. As we move into retirement and you move forward into the next chapter of this church, our joy will come from knowing that you are standing firmly on the Word of God, that you're focused upon the cross of God. As we gather for the final time, God wants us to remember God guides, and then God wants us to remember the church is His. Allow me to encourage you with a few remembrances I've shared for the past 6 years. First, be reminded that church isn't church without you. God purchased you with His own precious blood upon the cross, and God has joined you to this church. Bear in mind that this is God's church. It's not yours. It's not mine. Jesus purchased the church with His precious blood. And when He purchased the church, He gave this promise to us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Therefore, you have no need to worry, no need to fear about the future of the church. The church is in the best place possible, just as we are. We're in the hands of Almighty God. What better place can we be than to know that God's got us? Amen? Oh, how great to know that God's got us. It is in the hands of its blessed Savior. Think of all the pastors who have come and gone in the history of this church. And she's standing still. She's still here. And her light will continue to shine because the church doesn't depend on man. It depends on God. And the church that depends on God can rest assured that God is still working out His plan and his purpose for the church. Listen, nobody ever joined this church by its own volition. You're here because the Bible says that God sets the members in the body, not man. You're here because God has called you here. Therefore, allow me to put you in remembrance of God's command for his church at all times, and especially in times of transition and change. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. During this time of transition, my hope and my prayer for you all is that you'll encourage one another by drawing together often. Draw near to the cross, because the way of the cross leads home. Soon the day will arrive when our Lord will call with a shout this church out of this world. We just do what that song says, Brother Marty. We'll all just fly away. But until then, remember, you cannot encourage others if you aren't here. Remember, you cannot promote love and good works in absence. Remember, you have an enemy. So be sober, be alert, and take heed to what God's Word has to say and what God's Word is warning you about. Remember this, God has set you here, and God expects you to be faithful here. As your pastor, I have espoused you to Jesus Christ, and you are to function faithfully unto him. You are to be faithful to the one who set you among the members of Green Valley Baptist Church. They need you, and you need them. Remember who you are and what God has called you to do. You are a church on mission with God shining his gospel light all up and down this valley and all throughout Russell County. Remember whose kingdom you're to be building. Remember Jesus commanded you, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This one commandment is of vital importance to all of us at all times, but especially in this time of transition. It promises you blessings if you keep your priorities straight. Wayne Martindale, commenting on this verse, said this, put first things first and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first and we lose both first and second things. Remember that God has always been your sufficiency. God is your strength. God is your all in all. God is the one who guides us all through the transition of change and beside the still waters again. Moments of weakness often accompany times of transition. And there may come moments when you don't think you can endure. But remember that there is nothing you cannot do when the Lord is with you, because God has promised us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Esther Fields wrote this poem. And I think it gives perspective to the setting we find ourselves in today. Things don't happen to us who love God. They're planned by his own dear hand. Then molded and shaped and timed by his clock. Things don't just happen. They're planned. We don't just guess on the issues of life. We Christians just rest in our Lord. We are directed by his sovereign will in the light of his holy word. We who love Jesus are walking by faith, not seeing one step that's ahead, not doubting one moment what our lot might be, but looking to Jesus instead. We praise our dear Savior for loving us so, for planning each care of our life, then giving us faith to trust him for all the blessings as well as the strife. Things don't just happen to us who love God, to us who have taken our stand, no matter the lot or course or the price, things don't just happen. They're planned. Well, as we gather for the last time, let's make application as we close. Remember, God is your guide. Hang on to Him. God guides, not man. Remember, this is God's church. It's not yours. It belongs to Him. Remember that though we are parting, we will be forever linked in the body of Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow is just a hope. Today is what Thou hast given us. So today, in Jesus' name, may we be encouraged to press on. May we forget that which is behind us and be encouraged to press on in Jesus' name toward the prize of our high calling in Christ. O Lord, You may lead us through valleys deep or up mountains steep that'll cause our bodies to grow weary. Father, we may, I pray not, even stumble and fall. But in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to press on. For certain we'll face hard choices in this life. We'll be battered and scarred. But in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to continue pressing on. What You give us, Lord, in resources, may we spend until we've given our all. O Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, may we continue pressing on. Dear Lord, with the prize of heaven before us, clear before our eyes, may we find our strength in Jesus to continue pressing on. Living on Thy promise, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, may this dear church be found faithful and faithfully pressing on. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.